on today's Tech Help for Churches. Streamable, downloadable, playable, and taking your podcast to the next level. Welcome to another episode of Tech Help for Churches. My name is Paul Allen Clifford, and I'm your host, and I'd love for you to join the conversation. So head on over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact, or leave your comments in the comment bar below, whether you're watching this on YouTube or on trinitydigitalmedia.com. Either way is fine. If you would like to go see all my content, then please head over to the blog trinitydigitalmedia.com. All of those are spelled just the normal way. If you would like to leave a comment in another way, well, I've got a comment thread set up just for all this contact information, and that is trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact. And there you can leave your questions, comments, etc. You'll also see all the contact information there, like my email address, paul@trinitydigitalmedia.com, the 1-800 number, 1-877-763-3246. That's 1-877-POD-ECHO for you to echo back to this podcast. Also, my Twitter handle, which is Paul Allen Cliff, PaulAlanClif. And you can send me a tweet there, send me a direct message if I follow you already, or just send me an at mention and we'll go there and do it that way. So if you're just now joining the show, you might know that we're talking about my first book, Podcasting Church, which is available at AMZN, or A-M as in Mary, Z-N as in Nancy, .to/podcastchurch. That's the Amazon short code, just easier to remember. And you can download that. And right now we are on chapter 15, streamable, downloadable, and playable. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, as a podcaster, you have a distinct advantage over media companies. The big media companies make their money if you consume their content in a certain way. And that's fine. It's their content. They can do what they want. I just think that they're really missing out on an opportunity. Let me give you a perfect example. Right now, I want to catch up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I can't. You see, the big media company that releases that, ABC, while they have links on their show, on their website to it, it's only for clips for the first 17 episodes, and the full episodes, which they can monetize through ads, are only available only the last 4 episodes. Well, I haven't seen the first 17, and while I could kind of watch them out of order, it just seems kind of silly. Now, what they don't get is there is competition for them. And that is BitTorrent, or some illegal downloading site. Now, personally, I have an ethical problem with this. But not everyone does. In fact, a lot of people don't have any problem whatsoever. It was free on TV, why shouldn't it be free now? That's their thinking. Now, I don't agree with that thinking, but this provides an opportunity. As a podcaster, as a new media person, you can make your content available anytime that you want and make it easily available. So the first way you should do that is make it downloadable. Right now, there's no good way for me to download Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in a legal way other than going to BitTorrent. Maybe I could get it off of iTunes, but it would be expensive, where once the DVD comes out, I can buy the whole season for like $15, $20, right now, each individual episode is going to be prohibitively expensive, and it might not even be available just yet. So that's an opportunity for you to take a hold of this and do something in your media, the media that your church creates, that doesn't have that limitation. So I think that, number one, it should be downloadable. Now, that's really the heart of podcasting. If you've heard some of my discussions on what a podcast is and what a podcast isn't, you'll know that a podcast is downloadable media that's delivered automatically through an RSS 2.0 feed using the enclosure tag. That's a lot of gobbledygook, but let's just suffice it to say that streaming only does not a podcast make. Number two, streamable. So while technically the media doesn't need to be streamable, I think that it's very helpful to people to make media that is streamable. So the prime example is there's a service called Stitcher, S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. Now, Stitcher is the second largest aggregator of podcasts online, and part of the reason is their business model is they distribute podcasts streaming. So if someone is out and about and they've run out of podcasts, well, they can just fire up the Stitcher app and use the bandwidth on their smartphone's data connection to just listen to it streaming. And that works perfectly fine. So having streamable media, not live stream, just streamable, is another good way to have it so that people can consume it even if they haven't downloaded it already. So downloadable, streamable, and number three, playable. Now, of course, if it's downloadable or streamable, it's playable, isn't it? Maybe. You see, there's something called DRM that stands for Digital Rights Management. And the big media companies love to put DRM on their media files to limit accessibility to it. That's really not a good way to get it out. Now, they don't have a problem with not enough audience, so that's why they do it this way. But I think that, again, this is another opportunity. You need to make your media easily playable without any sort of scheme or anything that's holding back the media from being easily consumed. So make it as playable as possible. Now, there's a caution here. You can get to the point where you start making a separate file type for every possible situation, and then it just becomes ungainly. This is especially the case for video, where you can have a full HD feed, then you can have a 720p feed, you can have a 360p feed that's really small but still watchable, and then you start thinking, well, maybe I ought to do WebM. Yeah, I ought to have that as a backup codec. And before you know it, you've got all kinds of media files that you're creating, and it's really not getting you much more audience because the committed people can watch it any number of ways, but it's adding a lot of work to what you're doing. So be careful as you're making something playable that you're not making it playable at the expense of way too much work for yourself. We want it to be available, but we don't want it to be, well, we don't want it to be so much work that you can't make more. Do you see? So you want to strike that balance. If all the post-production and all the work that you do on it takes you 40 hours a week and the original show is a half an hour, you're probably doing too much. So scale it back and try and balance those things. And now we'll talk about taking your podcast to the next level right after this. The ChurchTechCast.com podcasts are generously provided for by viewers like you. thank you. Head on over to patreon.com/paulallencliff. That's patreon.com/paulallencliff. And you can support the show for as little as a dollar a month. This is one of the ways that this community has really rallied together, and I just really appreciate all those who are supporting this show. So why not join the community in supporting the show? Now let's talk just a little bit about taking your podcast to the next level. To borrow a phrase from podcast answer man Cliff Ravenscraft, I really think that this is doable. Let me tell you a story. You might have heard this story before, but when I was a senior in college, I went on a plane ride to London, England, and we visited a bunch of museums and everything. I actually saw the oldest known manuscript of Beowulf. I saw the Rosetta Stone, not to be confused with the language software that you can get now, the original Rosetta Stone, which had messages written in three languages, Greek, Latin, I believe it was Greek, Latin, and Egyptian, and it's how current scholars can actually read Egyptian is because of the Rosetta Stone. If I'm right, this thing was just laying out, and I actually got to touch it, and it was just incredible. So, while I was there, I was noticing that there were all sorts of art students with big boards in front of them, like drawing or painting or doing something in the museum. What I didn't realize was that they were learning from the masters. You see, when I was in college, I just thought, oh, this is more of that busy work that professors make you do that doesn't have any reason to do it. Well, perhaps, but what I really think was going on is the art school professors knew that the best way to improve your art is to try and duplicate artwork that people have already done. Now, the difference between an art forgery and learning to do art is what you do with the result. If you make a perfect copy of something and you try and sell it off as the original, art forgery. If, on the other hand, you just make a copy of it and you learn what you can from Michelangelo, you learn what you can from just all the great masters of art, then you're just learning what you can. So that's a good step on how to get your art better. Learn from others. Now, you don't have to learn exactly what they're saying when they do it, but I want you to try and find a radio show or a television show that's kind of like in structure, not in content necessarily, but in structure like what you're trying to accomplish with your podcast. And take notes. Pay attention. How do they open up the show? How do they close the show? How do they go to commercial? How do they go from one topic to another? Etc., etc. How do they interact with the audience? See if there are any tips or tricks that maybe you haven't even thought about that can help you grow. Now, don't emulate it perfectly. This is one of the things that I see a lot that people are making the mistake of doing is they're making the mistake of making duplicates and sending those out as their original work. One of the top podcasts right now is the Entrepreneur on Fire podcast. It's a daily interview show about business, pursuing your dreams, etc. Well, there are a lot of daily entrepreneurial podcasts that are interview shows out there right now. Because John Lee Dumas from Entrepreneur on Fire is making a lot of money, people think, oh, well, this is just the formula of how you make a lot of money. But is it? I think that you can make the mistake of... You can make the mistake of trying to emulate too perfectly. So, why not take what you have and remix that? So, take the Entrepreneur on Fire format where it has interviews and remove the interview portion and just talk with a co-host about different struggles every day. Slight tweak, slight remix, way to make it your own. Instead of making it a daily podcast, make it a weekly podcast. And again, maybe have a short interview segment, but also have a roundtable discussion, for example. So you can change that, you can change the subject matter, you can change a lot of things and make it your own. So remix the subjects. Take bits and pieces of ideas from different areas and make something that is your own. The art here is which bits and pieces that you take, not that it's all from scratch, never been done this way before, because if it's that way, you're going to get something that's so either poor quality because no one else has done it, or so avant-garde that other people won't quite get it. And so I want to caution you about doing that. But think of how you can kind of find the genre skeleton. I've talked about genre in the past. Find the skeleton that you want to build on and then flesh it out with the bones, flesh it out with muscles and skin and organs that are your own. When you think about this, two skeletons look very similar. It's the outside that makes each person look unique. So, I want you to think of how someone does a show as kind of the skeleton and what you bring to it as the muscles, the organs, and the skin and hair and all that make it your own. So that's the second thing. The third thing is I want you to practice. Now there's an old saying that says practice makes perfect, and there's some truth to that, but there's also some truth to the fact that practice makes permanent. That if you do something the wrong way over and over and over again, it's going to be harder to do it the right way. So I want you to continually strive for improvement, to get better and better with your podcast, and see if you can't do that to just take it to the next level. I also tell you that while my shows are all very lonely things where it's just me, except when I have interviews on the Eternity Changers show, but I haven't had one in about a month, 6 weeks, something like that. They're very lonely, but they don't have to be. It could be that you need a co-host. And so that's something that I'm always thinking about doing is where can I add a co-host? Where can I add support personnel? Where can I add people into the mix to make it better? Just something else for you to consider. Getting feedback. Talk to your audience. You'll notice that at the beginning of every show that I do, I ask for feedback. And I don't get a lot, but I would love to get more. I would love for people to say, hey, Paul, the thing that you did there, that didn't quite work. Because sometimes I think it might not quite work, but I don't know. And I don't know until I try. So if you basically confirm what I'm thinking, then sometimes that enables me to change, and I think that that's good. So, elicit feedback for your podcast. Don't be too proud to say, no, I know what I'm doing. I think that this is a trap that we can I'll fall into is thinking, oh, I know it all, or I've been doing this for years and years. I mean, keep in mind, I've been podcasting since 2005. On and off, for 9 years I've been doing this, and I'm still asking for feedback. Now, some of it I won't take. You know, if someone says, man, I love your show, but there's too much God stuff in there. Sorry, this is a church tech podcast. That's kind of how it is. So I'm not going to do less God stuff. In fact, I probably ought to do a little bit more. But, so some of the feedback I'm not going to take. But some of it is probably very valuable. Some people might say, hey, could you make the segment shorter? Or, hey, could you make them longer? I know there's a podcast I listen to, the School of Podcasting podcast with Dave Jackson. And he's always saying things like, I don't know, it seems a little long. To me, it doesn't. To me, his show seems about right, maybe even a little on the short side. Now, it could be that I'm just really interested in the subject matter. After all, I did, in fact, write the book on church podcasting, Podcasting Church, which you can get at amzn.to/podcastchurch. I wrote the book on the subject, so I am interested in it. And maybe that's why I think that his show is too short. Like, if he could do it twice a week, same length, that would be better for me. So, elicit feedback and take that as well. So, what are some other ways that you think that you can make a podcast better? Is it just practice? Is it just learning from the masters? Is it just getting other people involved? Is it just getting feedback? What have I left out? Feel free to share your comments below or on trinitydigitalmedia.com/podcast. Don't forget to share this show. The more you share, the better it's going to be. And the more people hear about this, the more we can get the word out. Subscribe to the show either on YouTube or over on trinitydigitalmedia.com/subscribe. If you like the show, don't hesitate to rate it in iTunes if you're subscribed that way. So you can go to trinitydigitalmedia.com/reviews, or is it, no, it's iTunes reviews, trinitydigitalmedia.com/iTunes reviews, and you'll find all the links. You can just click on the link, write your review. A sentence is all I need. A sentence four or five stars is very helpful to me. And the more we can get, the more I'll climb the charts in iTunes, and the more that we can get this word out to other church techies that don't know that this resource is available. So I hope that this has helped you, and I hope that you'll use it to go out and change eternity. Until next time, this is Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com.